I know for a lot of people, maybe not just in this area, but around the country, this past week, a lot of voids have been filled. That's right, NFL training camps opened. And I know for me, it gives me something to read every day as I read up on my beloved Miami Dolphins, making sure nobody gets hurt. But I was at the Curb game Friday. I was trying to have small talk with a guy as we were walking in. He basically said, not much of a baseball fan, but training camp opened, so I'm kind of happy. So we did have men's night at the Curb game. I think there were 7 of us that went, and we got to watch the Curb lose 5-0. But it was a special night for those of us who don't see that many games. We were talking about the pitcher for the other team and how it looked like he was just throwing junk all game long. Then reading the paper, he was a knuckleballer. You don't get to see knuckleballers that often. The ball was going about 75 miles an hour, and the Curb guys couldn't hit it. So it must have been having some serious movement that night. But I kind of opened up that training camp thing because this is I have a phrase that I'm going to talk about, the title of my sermon, which tends to sometimes get relayed to football. So most of you have probably heard the phrase, "When the going gets tough, the tough gets going." Now, this quote has been attributed to Joseph Kennedy, who is the father of John F. Kennedy, and also has been attributed to Newt Rockne, the famous football coach. From which university did he coach? Notre Dame! That's right. Yes, you guys know I'm a Notre Dame fan also. So Newt Rockne was the famous football coach from Notre Dame. When we think of this quote, it's meant to inspire people to overcome the challenges that they may be experiencing at that time. For some people, it is an inspiration. For others, it's just another reason to roll over and give up. Because we all know people who take on challenges head on, and we all know people who give up at the slightest hint of a struggle. So how we handle situations when they become challenging really says a lot about us as a person. Most people will follow a leader, a fearless leader, who's out front leading them in tough situations. And most people will not follow a leader who's hiding in a corner curled in a ball. So I guess the biggest thing about that phrase is that every one of us will encounter tough challenges sooner or later. And even as Christians, we will see some tough times, and how we handle them will say a lot about us, a lot about our faith, and a lot about our trust in God. Now today I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 through 10. You can follow along on the screen or in your pew Bibles or any other device in which you may have the Bible on. But Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 through 10. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patience, endurance, and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Now this passage is really talking about Christians having to deal with some very tough times. We talk about what's going on in the world today and our culture as a whole. We talk about as Christians we seem to be picked on by the media. We are no longer the cool kids. Instead, we are thought of being out of touch or out of date with what's going on or what's current. The world has gotten away from the morals and standards that had been laid out by God's Word. The Ten Commandments are no longer considered the foundation of daily living anymore. as Christians, it just seems to be more and more of a challenge to claim and live by our faith. For the record, that shouldn't be surprising at all. People of faith claim all the times that they feel that we are living in the end times and that Jesus will be coming back soon. And technically, they are correct. The end times started when Jesus ascended into heaven. So yes, we are living in the end times. But are we living in the end times as some think about when they think of the Great Tribulation? And what are we to do with that and with what is going on now in our world? Now, the passage today is from Revelation, and it talks about some tough stuff that we as Christians will have to go through. But there are some key words that we need to understand when we look at this passage. Now, the passage is talking about the beast. It says the beast will utter profane things against God and God's people, which is referred to in this passage as the saints. It says the beast will have authority or power for 3.5 years. It says 42 months. So for 3.5 years, the beast will have authority and power. It says the beast will attack the saints and will have power over all the people of the world. Now, it says all will worship the beast except the saints who truly belong to the Lamb. Many saints will be put in prison. Many saints will be killed. That's what we see in this passage, talking about what's going to be going on during the Great Tribulation. So this is what we can look forward to when we talk about being around during the Great Tribulation and when we talk about the rise of the beast. Now, some key things that I said we needed to know about this passage and what it says about the Great Tribulation is the same things that we need to understand today about the world that we live in, what's going on, and what we do when we feel like we are being attacked as in our faith today, as we see the things going on in the world, and when people shudder, why is this allowed to happen or that's allowed to happen? First, when we look at this passage of the Great Tribulation, it says everything that the beast has power to do. Notice that the passage says he was given the power. God gives the beast the power or authority to do these things, or allows the beast to do these things. So God is still in control and in charge. That's one thing we need to understand, that even when we see things are going bad, or we see in this passage the rise of the beast, that in the end, God has the ultimate power. God is in ultimate control. The beast is once again limited by God, and God has complete authority of what is going to happen. So, we wonder, why would God allow this to happen? The other key thing that we need to know about the beast and the authority that it has, or God allows it to have, is what it can do and what it cannot do. The beast says it can physically harm, maim, and kill. But the beast cannot do anything to us spiritually. So when we talk about what the beast has power to do, and if you wonder how could this possibly happen, you can look at the book of Job, of what Satan was allowed to do to Job. He could hurt him physically. He could hurt, take earthly things away from him and strip him of the things that he had been blessed with. But spiritually, Satan could not take that away. And damage that the beast can do during the Great Tribulation is only to our physical bodies. If we are truly saints and we believe, then we know that even if we are killed on this earth, we have eternity with the Father because we are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And to be honest, when we read about the Great Tribulation, it is going to truly separate those who really believe and those who will bail and worry about their physical body and worry about their rewards that are of this earth. Being a Christian will be real tough during the tribulation. And I think when you read the Left Behind series and you think about some of the things that they go through in that struggle, I think it's a pretty good interpretation. Again, it's just an author's interpretation of Revelation, but we can imagine a world that's going through that type of stuff. So we can understand it's probably going to be a lot tougher in the tribulation than what we're going through in today's world. And we think about today's world, we think about the violence, the lower morality, and so many things that are going against the church as a whole, but think about the tribulation being a lot worse. But as I start talking today about when the going gets tough and the tough get going, so what are we to do as Christians? The last sentence of this passage is the instruction for the tribulation, and pretty much it's the same instruction that we can use and can be said about today. It calls for patient endurance. And endurance is one of those words I really struggle to say, that the whole you are thing there. Patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. This means that because of our faith and knowing that God prevails, we will have to endure what is going on. Being patient, because we know that in the end, Jesus comes and all the saints will join him in heaven. It's not the easiest thing when our faith takes such a bashing on social media, in the papers, in the schools. You name it, we know that we are no longer the chosen group anymore. But we will endure knowing the truth. And in the tribulation, and maybe before then, we may lose our life because of our faith. We know Christian missionaries around the world face persecution. We know many die as martyrs. And even if it's before the Great Tribulation, we know about our faith. We may end up in prison. We may be ignored by our friends. We may not be asked to hang out with the cool kids or get invited to the popular parties. Many things that the world holds up as important. The things that the beast likes to brag about. That will be the things that the saints will have to avoid because we have faith and we have patient endurance. It seems like every day it gets a little harder to remain true to our faith without receiving some type of backlash. But we must remember that God is always in control, even when it feels like things may be going out of control. The question is, can we remain saints when the going gets tough? Because as we see in Revelation, it's going to get a lot tougher than it is now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know our time on this earth is going to have trials, it's going to have temptations, it's going to have struggles. Sometimes it's a struggle just getting up to get out of bed to start the day. Sometimes as we get older, it's the physical elements. It's the loss of loved ones. It's the stress of losing a job. It's the stress of raising children. It's the stress of how do you get the kids to the different events and still get home. And Lord, we know there's a lot of different things that pull on us. And too many times, Lord, it's easy to go and do what the world wants us to do and forget what you call us to do. So Lord, we ask that you give us the strength, that you continue to encourage us, that we come and join our brothers and sisters to have our batteries recharged, and that you show us how we can actually make a difference, not only in our families and not only inside ourselves, but how we can make a difference in our community, in our workplaces, in our church. Make a difference so more can come to know you. Give us the strength, Lord, that we can glorify you in your all-powerful and holy name.